Well, today it's high-end fashion, some antique dealers and galleries, but when Anne Schofield started dealing jewellery on Queen Street, Woollahra in Sydney, it was a very different place. For the past 40-plus years, she has collected and dealt antique jewels, specifically from the 18th century through to the 1950s, cameos, intaglios, from the not-so-expensive to jewels for the serious collector. And in that time, not only has she donated a significant number of items to Australian museums, she has also lent her expertise, and this time many items of jewellery as well, to a current exhibition at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney called A Fine Possession, that explores a millennia of jewellery history across continents and cultures. So 40 years in one place sounds good, worth a visit. So I visited Anne at her store to take a look. Anne Schofield, hi.
Hello. Nice to see you.
Can I get a sense of what this shop looks like? It's so beautiful.
Well, it's quite an old-fashioned looking shop. And the walls are covered in a sort of old gold moiré silk. And I have antique showcases. It's a treasure trove of jewels, actually.
It is. It's an incredible display of jewels and necklaces, rings, you name it. Can I come around the back?
Yes.
Am I allowed in? Side to the into the hallowed ground. So I'm just walking around the back.
This is the office, of course.
Yes. Take me back a bit to your beginnings here. As you said, you moved, but you first arrived in this area and pretty much was the first antique jeweler at all. What was it like when you first arrived?
Well, it was very downtrodden. It was very derelict, really, the whole street. There was one antique dealer, Bill Bradshaw, who was a really wonderful antique dealer, specialising in furniture of the late 18th century, the Regency Empire period. And there was one other little antique shop right down the other end, run by Mrs. Shakespeare, her name was. And I remember spending my last £15, you know, from London on something at Mrs. Shakespeare's and thinking, I like this street, it reminds me of London, you know, even though it's a bit derelict. And so when a friend of mine opened a shop round the corner of Queen Street called Kaleidoscope, he invited me to share a section of it. So I started in a very small way with a very small stock selling jewellery and costume, which was kind of in vogue in those days, secondhand Rose and all that. But when I opened my own shop in 1970, I really wanted to specialise in jewellery.
And a particular style of jewellery, you focus on a certain sort of periods, I suppose. What first sparked your interest?
Well, it was living in London, really. And, you know, I mean, it was so exciting. We were close to Portobello Road and we used to do our weekly shopping there. And then we were rushing off to, you know, the Victoria and Albert Museum and looking at their collection of costume and jewellery. I remember they had counters in those days and they had diamond brooches en tremblant, which means the diamonds are mounted on little tiny springs which tremble when the wearer wore them way back in the 18th century. And I used to sort of jump up and down in front of the showcases to make the tremblants tremble.
And so you were sort of entranced by the jewellery that you saw, and I know that you were given a jewel originally, one beautiful jewel by Leo at the time.
Yes. Well, that was the very first antique jewel I ever possessed, an antique amethyst cluster ring, a little floral cluster, and I thought it was very, very beautiful. Mm. And I just sort of fell in love with antique jewellery ever since. I mean, I was really interested in the history of the piece and the age in which it was created and the materials that were available and the skill of the workmanship and all of that.
And when we're talking about the type of jewellery that you've been dealing, I suppose, and collecting over the years, because you are a dealer and very much a collector as well, can you tell me a bit about one particular one at the moment that you've chosen not to keep, let's say?
Oh, I choose not to keep a lot of things. I mean, I really just keep things which are of particular historic interest. I mean, this brooch, for instance, which is a really lovely example of an Art Nouveau jewel. I'm very interested in Art Nouveau jewellery, and you don't see very much of it. The word Art Nouveau comes from the La Maison de l'Art Nouveau, which was created in Paris, and it was a kind of showing new art, including a lot of Japanese and much more organic styles. It was a reaction against the manufactured jewellery of the 19th century. So it's very free and flowing and organic, and there are lovely curves in it. And so this is, and often there is a woman's face or hair And that's just a very lovely little piece which is set with a diamond and decorated with enamel. And it's made by a jeweller called Cremens, who was in fact an American jeweller of the Art Nouveau period.
This is By Design, Fenella Kernebone with you, and I'm sitting in, well, standing in Anne Schofield's store, which is on Queen Street in Woollahra, and looking at quite an array of beautiful antique jewellery. And the, I suppose the other item that you're really fascinated with is, for example, the ring that you have on your finger, which I know has a really fabulous story as well. What's that one?
That's a cameo. It's a hard stone cameo of a Roman emperor. And the thing that I find interesting is that most people really don't understand about cameos. They are carved from one stone, or in some cases one shell, where the top layer, which is the white layer of a banded agate, is carved, leaving the darker layer as the background. So you get, you know, the face of this Roman emperor in white, and the background is in dark brown. And it required great skill to carve these. They were created by the ancient Greeks and Romans, and then there was a renewed there was a huge interest, really, even in the Renaissance period, but there was a big resurgence of interest after the discovery of Pompeii and Herculaneum.
So in the Grand Tour, when the English decided to travel to Rome and then to Italy, etc.
That's right, they used to collect these cameos. And Catherine the Great of Russia, who was very wealthy and could have whatever she wanted, really, she made a collection of 10,000 ancient gems, which is an enormous number, and they're housed in the Hermitage Museum. But they're not only ancient ones, they were also classical subjects which were carved by craftsmen of the day in England and France and Italy.
The process of being involved with the exhibition that's on at the Powerhouse involved for you, I mean, a lot of the items that are in the exhibition from the older section, I suppose, are sourced from you or are from your collection as well. Can I just find out about the detective work that was involved for you to track down some key pieces? What did you have to do?
I suppose that over the 40 years that I've been dealing, I knew whom I'd sold very special pieces to. It was quite interesting because at the beginning we started to do a chronological sort of sequence, and we had some ancient Roman and Greek things from the Nicholson Museum, and I was a bit concerned that we didn't have anything from the Renaissance, for instance. And I tracked down an Australian collector who had a collection of ancient rings, only rings, so we were able to persuade that person, who remains anonymous, to lend, I think he lent us 20 rings for that exhibition.
Wow.
Which is pretty exciting. Mm. But as it turned out, the exhibition is in fact presented in a different way, which is very interesting. It's presented under different themes. So there's magic and protection, there's love and death, there's wealth and status, there's nature and insects, I think. There is the most marvellous parure in beetles, which was presented to the Lord Granville as a gift for his wife. And certainly this Lady Granville's beetle parure is a diadem and a necklace and earrings. It's quite amazing.
And how long have you been in this shop again?
I've been in business for 40 years because I started it in 1970, and we moved to this couple of doors up in 76, so it's quite a long time in the business, certainly in Australia.
And when I look at your beautiful shop, and as we've talked about, the gorgeous display cases and the beautiful, you know, carpet, etc., and
chandeliers.
It's pretty nice here. And your desk is just in the office next door, and it faces towards the street. I suppose it's really, from being here for now almost 40 years, what's it like watching the world go by?
Well, it's changed tremendously. It's really become a street of fashion shops. It's mostly fashion shops. There are only a couple of antique shops. The other thing I find interesting is people don't look in windows much. They're always walking along. I've watched them walking along, looking at their iPhones, and they don't look to the left or right. You know, they just don't look at it. Half the time you wonder what the point of creating a window display is.
So do you need more bling, Anne?
No, I don't think so. I'll leave the bling to others. Everybody is selling bling, you know. I mean, bling is big, I realise that. But no, I'm dealing in something quite different.
and that is Anne Schofield. And her book is called Jewels on Queen, and it explores a range of jewellery design, stuff that she's interested in, mostly quite odd as well, some of it quite odd, including eye miniatures, plus intaglios, cameos. And the exhibition at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney is comprehensive. It's called A Fine Possession, Jewellery and Identity, and it looks at the role that jewellery plays in our lives. You can find some information and some images, as always, on our website.